This is After Eaton, a primary account of the events that took place during the Eaton Canyon fires in Altadena by the Pasadena City College staff, faculty, students, and alumni who experienced it. This is After Eaton. I'm the host, Jens Campbell, and just so you guys know a little bit about me, I am a graduate of this television and radio program here at PCC, Pasadena City College. But I'd love to learn a little bit more about you guys. I know a little bit. Your mom, obviously, Liesl. She was my dean for a bit there. So I know a little bit about you guys from that time. But I'd love to learn more about you. And again, Madison, I'll start with you since you seem pretty boisterous and pretty joyful to talk about a lot of these things. Tell me a little bit about yourself. Just who are you? What are you into?
At my school, I'm in the arts academy, so I like anything to do with arts, like theater, musicals, anything like that. I'm 14, gonna turn 15 in about 3 months.
Congrats!
Thank you. I'm a very like social person, but I would say I'm more of an ambivert instead of like fully introvert or fully extrovert.
Mm-hmm. Can't relate, by the way.
I don't think there's much else about me, but I enjoy watching TV.
Mm-hmm.
I like singing. I was in choir for like 3 years.
Oh, beautiful. Are you alto? Alto, soprano?
But I could be either one.
Oh, I think
like,
that's called
usually I'm an alto, but sometimes if they needed a backup soprano, I could be a soprano too.
That's awesome. I think that's called like a contralto, I believe.
I think so.
I can't remember.
Maybe. I don't think she ever gave me a label. She was just like, if you can sing this part in soprano, then that'd be okay.
That's beautiful. Yeah, I'm holding it down for the altos. I love it. And your brother, Jonathan, tell me a little bit about you.
Well, I'm a current student here in PCC. I'm actually on my last semester working on transferring into a university. I'm planning on going to Channel Islands, living in the dorms.
Nice.
I'm 21. My major is communications. And a couple of things I like to do is that I like to game a lot. I like to hang out with my friends, especially like on games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the current ones that I'm playing right now is, like, Marvel Rivals and, maybe Repo, and then that's it. Just mainly those two. And then, a couple other hobbies I like to do. I like to read a lot as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mainly just read Stephen King books.
That's awesome. And how appropriate that you're studying communications and you're hanging out with us here at Lancer Radio. Have you participated in the television and radio program?
No, I haven't.
You haven't? I highly recommend it. I know it's like your last semester, but
yeah.
highly recommend even just auditing a class or two. But congratulations on going to Channel Islands. That's a beautiful area. Let's get into couple of questions here. And either one of you can answer, or if you know you both want to answer, that's okay. Can both of you maybe describe a little bit of what your life was like before the fires? Like maybe just an average day for you, and maybe like describe what your neighborhood looked like or felt like.
For me, an average day was going to school in the morning, hanging out with my friends at lunch, like having fun, setting up plans to hang out, stuff like that. And sometimes I would walk home.
Mm-hmm.
So the walk home was always really pretty because there was all these trees, all these beautiful houses on the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to go up a hill where I got to see like a bunch of different like type houses. Like some would be old, some would be modern. Some would be like mid-century, but I just remember it being really beautiful and a great place to walk around.
That sounds idyllic, gorgeous. Jonathan, would you like to share what your like a day was like in your life?
Yeah, for me, it's kind of similar to the same thing except for the walking part. For me, it's just mainly just going to school. And then after coming back, I just hang out like around the house.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I would like make like lunch. and then just eat like outside of like my porch and stuff. Mm-hmm. Just enjoy the scenery at times. And then just like listening to like all the animals like chirping, making noises just around us. Especially like when there was like a flock of parrots around our house, which, you know, kind of feels weird not to hear as much anymore. And in the neighborhood, I usually just like walk around short distances, mainly just like whenever I don't feel like cooking at home, I just go somewhere out to eat. Mm-hmm. So I do tend to take short walks to like whatever places nearby. Mm-hmm. Or like whenever I'm like running low on like snacks at home, I just walk to like the nearest Rite Aid, which is there, but now it's not as there anymore. Yeah. Since they're closing it down. So yeah,
I wasn't aware of that, but yeah, I can relate a little bit to that, the Pasadena parrots. I live a little bit east of here, so yeah, I'm used to hearing those guys. Mm-hmm. Flying around too in the morning, and then at night when they return home to roost. And again, as much as you feel comfortable sharing, can you describe what the evening of the fires was like for y'all?
For us, I'd gone back from school, and like they were planning to take me out of school early because of the wind. Mm-hmm. And my mom wanted me to help her clean up the yard and get ready for like the windstorm that we knew was coming. And so on our way back, we picked up our neighbor because she didn't want to stay at her house and like during the storm by mm-hmm. herself.
Yeah.
So we picked her up and we took her back to our house. And I don't remember what I was doing, but I think I was watching TV while they made food. And we had like a normal evening dinner. Then around 8, like, no, it was before, when we knew like the wind was getting bad. And we thought maybe we might have to leave the house because like there would be a power outage and go to a hotel. So they told us to just get a bag ready just in case we need to put some clothes in there. So I brought very little things. Like I got like my computers in there, just like my electronics and just a couple of items of clothes. And around 8, we found out about like the fires, and we learned that our other brother's area was getting evacuated. Mm-hmm. So we all got in the car except for Steve, because he decided to stay back and take care of a few things. And we went to go pick up my brother, and we could see the fire on the mountain. And it was like a really emotional thing, because it was like crazy just to see it. And we thought it was far enough, but I guess it wasn't. But we picked up my brother. It was all of us in the car except for Steve, who was still back at home. We went to like the hotel, and apparently they had overbooked, so we didn't have a room. Mm-hmm. So we stayed there for a little bit until eventually we found a hotel we could stay in. And later that night, I believe my dad got home, mm-hmm. like at the hotel, around 2 to 3 a.m. But that was pretty much my view of it.
And only share as much as you feel comfortable, right? We don't have to get too deep if you don't want to.
It's kind of similar as the same thing.
Yeah.
Just went home, then did my usual thing, just hang out in my room.
Yeah.
Playing like a game or whatever. And then like around, I think it was dinner time, right?
Yeah, the end of dinner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was about the end of dinner, and then we started to see, like, did we ever get to see?
We only saw the fires when we got in the car on our way to pick up our older brother.
Mm-hmm.
But we couldn't see them from our house.
Yeah.
So when we were driving, that was, like, a big shock to see, because it was, everything was normal, and then you checked the hill, and then you could just see the fire. And you could tell immediately that this wasn't just a bushfire. It was a big fire.
Yeah, and then I think also I remember that we got our evacuation notice late, right?
Yeah,
Our older brother
early, because our older brother got his at 8, but we would have gotten ours around 3 in the morning.
Wow.
Yeah.
So we didn't get ours till way later. Our dad went to go stay with somewhere else for a little bit until their area eventually got evacuated, and he got to the hotel around 3-ish in the morning.
Something like that. Yeah.
And that was the night of the fire. It was really different. Like, it wasn't something that I was scared of. It was more like shocking.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't process the emotion of just seeing it.
So your brother lives separately from you folks?
Yeah, at the time he was living in it was a program by PCC where people who grew out of the foster system would live in the same house as people who...
Like a group home.
Yeah, basically like a group home, but like the community was better. They went to college, like they... He was going to PCC, and he still is.
Mm-hmm.
But that was what his living situation was like. And he would come over a lot because he moved way closer to us. So he was like maybe 10-minute drive from our house. So he wasn't that far away.
Yeah. And then I also remember that it was like very windy.
Yeah, it was extremely windy. We saw a tree fall in front of us, and we were like really shocked. One part that scared me was we saw like a transformer blow up, and then the stoplight just went back on after, and like we kept driving, like it was on our way to the first hotel.
Yeah.
Yep. And then there was also two separate cars. So my dad was in a separate car, and then
we
were in the bigger car because we had...
there was 4 of us at first, and then there was 5 of us.
Because our neighbor, Wilda, got to come with us along with her stuff and things. And, yeah. And then we also had to hopefully, like, scrunch in a bit more because we also had a cat at the time, too.
Yeah.
So, and definitely at that night, our cat was really, like, scared and nervous. She
was
really scared.
That was...
And it was kind of sad to, like, see that. I never usually, like, seeing my cats being that kind of... like that scared.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and then like I think when we were waiting in outside of that hotel that it was booked, we had to like wait until like this one that already had like a blackout and just stayed there for like a couple of hours.
We stayed there for a couple of hours hoping they would get power back, or we just wanted to stay there for a little bit until our mom could find a hotel we could stay at,
because
around the area they were all like booked, like every single room.
Yeah.
So we couldn't really find anyone, like any place around the area, until we found one like maybe 40 minutes away where we were. And it was like by the freeway. It was really funny because they didn't allow pets. So we did like kind of a Mission Impossible type thing trying to get him in, and then we found out our room was literally on the other side, so we didn't even have to like sneak him in.
Yeah.
And there were no cameras, so it was really fun.
Yeah, so yeah, it was a lot that night. I mean, I've dealt with a lot in my past, but that one kind of takes the cake to it, especially when you're like pretty much just getting comfortable with the area you're in.
Yeah.
Since me and my sister, we are former foster youth, so yeah, just seeing a place you've been living for almost 5 years just gone is kind of a lot.
We had been through everything there. We were there for COVID, like all quarantine. Like our parents would set up things because I was 9 at the time, and we were celebrating like our first Easter together. So they made like a whole extravagant Easter hunt, but they used a possum that was in our yard. So they would be like, Fidget wrote this letter, da da da, and they would pretend like Fidget wrote the letter, and I was young, so like I semi believed it, but I semi didn't. But it was like they really gave us like the life we hoped we would have with like our forever family. And we had just been through so much at that house, like COVID, going back to school. I mean, there was pictures of me in the front every grade, 6th grade, 7th grade, 8th grade, like first day, 7th grade dance. promotion, like everything.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like you all had established a forever home for yourselves there. And, you know, unfortunately, this event, you know, took that from you. Mm-hmm. But how would you say that this is, you know, I know I'm bouncing around a little bit here, mm-hmm. but how would you say that this has, if it has, strengthened your familial relationship, either with each other or even your parents?
I feel like we've bonded more. Mm-hmm. And, like, through this entire situation, we've all been there for each other. Like, when our parents are stressed about fire things, like, me and Johnny will just try and, like, lay back and not put so much stress on them and, like, be on top of our work at school when we finally went back to school. Because mm-hmm. I was off school for about a month. Because we couldn't go back because it was, like, near the fire area.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so we were trying to be on top of our work, trying not to add more stress. And, like, we would still have family, like, dinner. Like, every night we would still all be at the dinner table eating together. Like, there was no changing that. We would still sometimes have our family movie nights, which was, like, a ritual we've had since, like, the first time we met them. Was when we started it, like, 1 week, and then we were like, let's just keep doing it. It's fun. Mm-hmm. So that was another way we bonded a lot.
Yeah, and the main dishes for those movie nights are always just, like, either pasta and pizza or just some other food.
Yeah.
But just mainly pasta and pizza.
Yeah, it was almost always pizza or pasta whenever we would have family movie night.
Yeah.
Carbs and film. I love it.
Yes.
Very important. But touching back on what you were mentioning regarding not being able to go to your school for a month, you know, what kind of other challenges would you say, you know, you guys encountered after the fires?
It was hard for me was, like, not being at school because school gave me a schedule I could follow. And I didn't have that anymore. Because we didn't have any work to do because the teachers couldn't post any work for us to do. So we weren't really doing much of school at all. Like, I was trying to keep in contact with my friends, like, trying to call them as much as I could. But they got to go to school earlier than I did because their school wasn't as close to the fire area. But my school was, like, right by, like, where some houses burned, so we couldn't. Like, I couldn't go because it wasn't safe for us to go back to school.
Yes.
And it was difficult, but it made me feel better when I went back to school. Like, most people would have said, oh, school would have been hard, but it gave me more, like, support because the teachers at my school were very, like, lenient on their assignments because they understood what you had gone through, and they'd be like, we don't expect, like, perfection out of you. We just want you to at least try. And I got support from my friends. A couple of my friends' houses burned as well. So we had, like, this group where we would just support each other through it. And they'd be the people I could talk to it about that could understand what I was going through. So that was really not many struggles.
So it sounds like those instructors as well as your fellow classmates.
Yeah, I feel like they supported me very well, and I just needed a schedule again. Like, I just needed a genuine schedule to follow, or else for me, I'll just fall into, like, kind of a depressive cycle where I'll either sleep a lot or I'll just sit around doing nothing because I have nothing to do, and, like, there's nothing I can occupy myself with, like, work.
And you, Jonathan, were you at PCC at the time? That was, like, during, like, our winter session, or the very beginning of our winter session. Were you?
Yeah, I think it was, like, halfway through the winter session, I think.
It was the beginning. I was here.
Yeah.
It was the beginning of the winter session. It was, like, a week into the new winter session. But
I think I was taking a math class at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, not much else happened. I was just trying my best to just focus on my winter class, mainly just on that. And then, yeah, not much else I can remember.
Would you say that similar to Madison, like that, you know, school was able to provide you like a sense of like structure or stability or?
Yeah, it was like a, I guess, like a crutch for me to like rely on when I was going through losing my home.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And, you know, we already talked about how it affected your education, but were you able to complete the classes, Jonathan?
I was able to. Okay. I just kept pushing through. I just had to like get it over with. That was just my mindset, pretty much, just kind of try to forget everything else and just focus on just this one thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, pretty much.
What would you say helped you? You know, Madison mentioned like having what sounds like a support system of other students, other friends who went through something similar. What would you say helped you during this part?
For me, it was just whenever I get like extremely stressed about like things, I just mainly just listen to music, kind of just listen. That's all I pretty much did for my kind of support. It was just listening to just whatever is playing on my playlist. And yeah,
what's on your playlist?
Like
for my own curiosity.
Guess like Red Hot Chili Peppers, Linkin Park, Bruno Mars. I'm trying to remember who else. Frank Sinatra,
okay, yeah. Guys, all right, now we're talking.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've got all those people on my playlist too, so
yeah,
you guys have good taste in music. But it's good to know that you found some solace in music. I would imagine your video games also were perhaps, was that also helpful for you?
Yeah, it was. I got to save like two of my things. Mm-hmm. My third one, I kind of just left at the house because I thought I would come back to it. Yeah. And I, you know,
yeah,
it kind of burned down. So yeah, so there's that. But it doesn't, that also kind of helped with my, you know, my emotional instability at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And speaking of that, have either of you guys been able to take advantage or of any of, like, the mental health resources that, like, PCC has provided or that were provided by, like, different organizations after the fires?
For us, we have our own therapist that we talk to quite often. Like, she's been our therapist since I was 8.
Mm-hmm.
So roughly 6 years with her. So we were mostly talking to her, but there were definitely counselors at school that found out about, like, I was one of the impacted families, and they would pull me out of class just to check in and, like, make sure everything was going okay and, like, ways they could help me, like, stuff like that. They were being just genuinely supportive, but I don't think I really took any advantage of the mental health resources because I didn't really need it at that point. I don't think I was like at the point of like needing more support than I already had.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you guys have like mental health support. Yeah. So yeah, that you kind of already had as like a basis
mm-hmm.
for it. But yeah, that's good at least to have that level of support. Mm-hmm. But speaking of all that, and honestly, you guys are incredibly joyful and very vibrant, especially like as soon as I saw you guys walk into the studio, you've been very, very upbeat. What would you say has kept you so resilient throughout all of this? What has helped with that resilience?
I'd say each other. Like, whenever we're around each other, there's just, like, we can bond with each other. Like, we get each other. Like, mm-hmm. we have been together for a long time. I say I've known him for 11 years because I said I don't remember him when I was my first 3 years of life. So he says he's known me all my life. I say I've known him for 11 years. But we just have that bond with each other where, like, we can get through anything if we have each other. Like, we honestly just need each other and obviously our parents, because we can just be ourselves and, like, just express whatever we want to express whenever we're around each other.
Yeah. I agree with the same thing of what she said as well, since, to me, I always think that I'm always weak, I guess. I try to, I don't know. Because of the reason why I don't feel weak now, but mm-hmm. back then I always did, because I had to deal with a lot of important things in my life, like being in the foster care system. Yeah. And in that foster care system, I was pretty much fought with the courts to stay with this one for, like, always, since they always tried to separate us because of our age difference, because, you know, some people don't like older kids. They prefer younger kids. But then I didn't want to leave her alone. So I just pretty much just fought with the courts on that. And because of, like, doing that kind of makes me feel resilient already. And then just, like, everything else that happened through the course of my life, including this, kind of just helped me build up more, like, build up more power for me to withstand a lot of things.
Yeah.
And for this, I was scared. I was scared at first, but then I just went back to, like, all the things that I went through before, that some could even be worse than this. And made me realize. I guess you could say just sometimes I tend to lose touch with myself. I don't know why. I just do. I don't know. It's just sometimes it's like a really good wake-up reminder for me.
I would argue that even in those periods of time, that wasn't weakness. There's a lot of power and strength and courage that I think is required to be able to do that. And the fact that you advocated for, you know, staying with your sibling and, you know, especially against a system that is built to separate a lot of families and children, siblings from each other. Mm-hmm. I would argue that that requires a lot of strength.
Yeah, he was definitely my parental figure when I was growing up. All the things I learned, like how strong I am now, is because of him. Because, like, he always, like, taught me, like, I can really just, if I have the right dedication, the right, like, resilience to do anything, like, I can do it. Like, I can overcome anything that's happened. And I think that's what you were trying to say, was just, like, thinking back on all the stuff that has happened to us and how we got through it all with each other, like, just having our support, like, even when we were younger, like, we got through so many things together. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I feel like we can overcome this as long as we're together too.
That's beautiful. And I love that you guys can look upon, you know, the fact that you've been able to get through these previous difficult situations and have been able to build upon that resilience through this situation. So, yeah, I definitely admire you both for being able to come through and be present, especially, like, even for this moment, to be able to talk about it. So thank you so much for opening up and sharing so honestly. And, you know, it honestly takes a lot of courage to be able to be this vulnerable and really open up and share about what you've gone through and how you've gotten through it. And I suppose that brings us to our next question. You know, do you guys have any words of inspiration or just insights or anything, wisdom that you'd like to share with other folks who are maybe going through something traumatic, whether it's something like this or something different?
I'd say just, like, I know they're going to hear this a lot, but it does get better. Like, as long as you believe in yourself, like, you can achieve anything. Like, as long as you're not the one bringing yourself down, you're not going to be your own enemy. You're lifting yourself up, not pulling yourself down. Because those negative thoughts, I learned this from my mom, was just like, just imagine you're going into a test, you're having a big final exam. You saying, I'm going to fail, I can't do this, is going to lose all the confidence you have. But if you're like, I can do this, I can get a good grade on this test, you're going to be more confident in what you do. And you're going to be able to achieve like a high grade, or just in general, you're going to be able to achieve a lot. Like, just keep pushing. Like, it's not going to be the end. Your life still goes on even after all these traumatic things happen.
That's beautiful. Thank you, Madison. Yeah. How about you, Jonathan? You got any words to share?
For me, I would say just don't try to fight this alone. Try to rely on the people around you. Friends, family, teachers, coworkers, bosses, just whoever is around, just always rely on the people around you. Because if you tried to fight this alone, and I have tried to do something like that, and it does not get, and it's not good to do it alone. So it's really nice to just use the resources or the people around you to help you get through your traumatic experience of losing your house, and if not, more. And yeah.
I love that. So, community, a good support system. That's great. Thank you. And what's next for you guys? What are the next steps for y'all?
For me, it's focusing on high school. I'm coming in at the end of my freshman year. Finals week is next week. Pretty stressed. I'm still having a social life. Like, even after this, if anything, this has built my social life. Like, I have talked to more people, I have gone out with my friends more, because it made me realize, like, things like that can just, like, go away. So you have to take advantage of it. I mean, I have a friend's quince coming up where I get to be one of the damas in it.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I'm just trying to live my social life and also live my school life, like focusing on my grades, getting in grades. Like, I'm just excited to get through the next 4 years of high school.
Well, congrats. And I hope that you are able to successfully get through your finals. I know we're coming up on finals week here at PCC as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And congrats on being a dama.
Thank you.
That sounds like fun. How about you, Jonathan? What are your next steps?
For me, I'm just focusing on finishing up this semester strong, or as best as I could, and just focus on moving into, well, potentially moving into like my dorm room
mm-hmm.
in the fall for Channel Islands. And I plan on going to finish up my communications major with a game design and minor, and a minor too. So. And yeah, also same thing, gonna try to make more friends here, just as I made friends here in PCC.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, pretty much that's all I got for me.
That sounds awesome. Well, it sounds like you both have a lot of really fun things, a lot of exciting, mostly educational things to look forward to. Yeah, anything that we didn't cover that you'd like to maybe talk about or just give voice to?
Do we have anything?
Not really. Just keep going. Like, just, it's not the end of the world. Like, your life is going to go on because you have people around you. Even if you don't feel like it, even at PCC, like, you have resources to go to. Like, you can go, if you put yourself out there, you'll be able to find people who will support you through this time. Like, just don't try and go through it alone. Try and get support from the people around you.
Jonathan, any additional insights or words or anything? Otherwise,
get good grades on do well and worry.
Get good grades. Oh gosh. Well, thank you both so much for being here on After Eaten. I really appreciate you guys sitting down to speak with us, and wishing you both all the best. I'm sure you guys are going to do great. So thank you again.
Thank you. Thank you, too.
After Eaten is hosted, produced, and edited by me, Jens Campbell. James Patrick is our executive producer. Audio engineering by Noah Caraballo and Jens Campbell. Director of photography is Noah Caraballo. Camera operation by Noah Caraballo, Chloe Chow, and James Patrick. Video editing by Chloe Chow and James Patrick. Theme song for After Eaten, Beings, was written and produced by Britton McWhorter. After Eaten was recorded at Lancer Radio Network and is a production of Pasadena City College's television and radio program with support from the Visual Arts and Media Communications Department. Listen to all episodes of After Eaten and more student-produced works at lancerradionetwork.org.